Thank you. Thank you. A symphony with a bit of a comic twist. That's the Symphony No. 4 by Felix Draeseke here on Kansas Public Radio. We heard the North German Radio Symphony Orchestra of Hamburg. The conductor is Jörg Peter Weigel. Good to have you with us today for the classics, including the Polovtsian Dances from Prince Igor by Alexander Borodin. That's ahead later this hour. You know, the world comes at you pretty fast, on air, online, and on your phone. There's an awful lot of information to process, and let's face it, your time is valuable. All things considered, cuts through the clutter, mining the data to separate the facts from the fluff. Join us for All Things Considered. It's every weekday afternoon from 3 to 6, right here on Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News and classical music. Connect with Kansas Public Radio on Facebook. There's music by Zoltán Kodály from his duo for violin and cello, from a performance in the KPR Live studio by violinist Larisa Elisha and cellist Stephen Elisha. We have news from National Public Radio ahead in less than 15 minutes on Kansas Public Radio. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Darrell Brogdon, serving up the classics for you. You know, every day you count on Kansas Public Radio to work for you. KPR gathers news, commentary, entertainment, and music from near and far to keep you up to date on what's happening in the world. KPR works because of the investment of listeners who value the services and contribute to it. Think about that for a minute. And then please invest in what works for you. Regardless of the amount you pledge, your gift will make a difference in the service you rely on maybe every day. It's very easy to do. Please support KPR online at kpr.ku.edu. And as always, we thank you very much for your support. Next is music from Alexander Borodin's opera Prince Igor, which I learned was unfinished at Borodin's death. It was completed largely by Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov, who assisted also in the orchestration of one of the most popular tunes from the opera, the famous Polovtsian Dances. We'll hear those dances played now by the Gothenburg Symphony Orchestra. Nima Yarvi is the conductor here on Kansas Public Radio. the famous Polonaise Dances from Prince Igor by Alexander Borodin here on Kansas Public Radio. That's Nima Yarvey leading the Gothenburg Symphony Orchestra. Borodin actually died before completing Prince Igor. Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov was left to bring it all together. There's a great story about Borodin, Rimsky-Korsakov, and composer Anatoly Liadov working together on the orchestration of the Polonaise Dances that we just heard, and they were behind schedule and working late into the night. They did the orchestration in pencil, and the finished sheets were covered with some kind of liquid gelatin in order to keep the pencil marks intact. So they had the score hanging on essentially a clothesline stretched across Borodin's study until it dried. Thanks for joining us for Classical Music. You're on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Darryl Brogdon. Remember, you can check out our playlists of all the music we play on this station at our website, kpr.ku.edu. And while you're there, we hope you'll become a member listener of KPR. It's easy to do. It's so easy to overlook as well, but we hope you'll take this opportunity now to become a member of Kansas Public Radio at kpr.ku.edu. From the University of Kansas, this is your place for NPR News and Classical Music, Kansas Public Radio. We're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence at FM 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia at FM 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City at FM 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at FM 90.3.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. President Trump says he's going to let the U.S.-based chipmaker NVIDIA sell one of its most advanced microchips to China. The chips are used in artificial intelligence. NPR's John Ruich reports the policy shift comes amid worries about U.S. leadership in the AI sector.
Trump says on social media the U.S. will allow NVIDIA to sell H200s to approved customers in China, quote, under conditions that allow for continued strong national security. He says he told Chinese leader Xi Jinping about it, and she responded positively. Trump also indicates that the U.S. would get a cut of sales. The H200 is what's known as a GPU chip. It hit the market last year, and it's better than its predecessor, the H100 model, which has been a workhorse of AI data centers. NVIDIA's best chips, the Blackwell series, are not part of this deal. The U.S. has imposed a virtual embargo on cutting-edge chips and chip-making equipment going to China out of fear that the U.S. could lose its lead in the AI race. John Ruich, NPR News.
An environmental group wants a national moratorium on the construction of some new data centers that power artificial intelligence. More than 230 groups have signed on to a letter to Congress. NPR's Jeff Brady reports.
The group Food and Water Watch drafted the letter, citing the risk of higher utility bills and environmental concerns. Mitch Jones with Food and Water Watch says a pause is needed so regulation can catch up.
And let's figure out if it's possible to do this in a way that is going to be safe for the environment, that is going to preserve water for communities, that is not going to drive up people's already increasing electricity prices.
The industry group Data Center Coalition said in a statement that halting construction would jeopardize digital infrastructure that's essential to contemporary life. The coalition argues a moratorium would risk U.S. economic competitiveness and national security. Jeff Brady, NPR News.
The Department of Housing and Urban Development is revising controversial changes to funding that is intended to reduce homelessness. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports the HUD move comes in the wake of two lawsuits.
States, cities, and nonprofits warned that HUD's overhaul could push 170,000 people back into homelessness. In a surprise move, the agency told the court it will withdraw its changes for now to address such concerns. But a government lawyer said HUD still intends to shift toward more transitional housing and mandated treatment. The agency has also set new conditions for who can get money based on alignment with Trump administration policies, such as DEI and restricting transgender gender rights. The two lawsuits allege all those changes are unconstitutional. They say Congress has made clear homelessness funding should be based on need and spent on programs with proven success. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up more than 100 points. You're listening to NPR. Aircraft maker Boeing has reacquired a key supplier that builds the body of Boeing's 737 jets. NPR's Joel Rose reports.
Spirit AeroSystems was created in 2005 when Boeing spun off its operations in Oklahoma and Kansas to cut costs. Spirit continued to make the fuselage for the 737 at its plant in Wichita, but Boeing had to prop up the financially struggling company. Quality problems in Wichita often led to additional work at Boeing's factory near Seattle and eventually contributed to the mid-air blowout of a door plug panel on a 737 MAX jet in early 2024. Boeing says the reintegration of Spirit will help the company improve safety and quality. The deal requires Boeing to sell off parts of Spirit's business to its European rival Airbus and other buyers to satisfy antitrust concerns. Joel Rose, NPR News, Washington.
The Roman Catholic Archdiocese of New Orleans will pay at least $230 million to hundreds of victims of clergy sexual abuse. A federal judge has approved the money as part of a settlement. The New Orleans diocese declared bankruptcy more than 5 years ago instead of handling each abuse claim separately. People who reported the abuse say that meant the church did not have to reply to allegations in court. The New Orleans Archbishop apologized for the diocese's actions this week. A few thousand residents near Anchorage, Alaska, don't have power after potent winds scoured the area over the weekend. Some gusts reached hurricane strength for days. Farther south, the National Weather Service issued cold weather advisories around the capital, Juneau. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Lodestar Foundation, inspired by the principle that helping those in need is a path to a happier, healthier, and more meaningful life. Learn more at LodestarFoundation.org. This is NPR.
That's a Beethoven bagatelle. Here on Kansas Public Radio, the pianist is John O'Connor. I'm Darryl Brogdon here with the classics on KPR, and thank you so much for joining us. We're glad to have you along today with ballet music by Lord Berners. Later in the hour, it's called Luna Park, coming your way in about 30 minutes. But next is a symphony by Franz Joseph Haydn, which is called the Drum Roll Symphony. He is a great nicknamer, and this one gets its name because of the timpani roll that opens his symphony number 103. This is one of 12 symphonies that Haydn composed for performance in England during two very successful trips he made there in the late 18th century. So let's listen to the symphony number 103, the Drum Roll Symphony of Franz Joseph Haydn. This is Jack Martin Handler conducting the European Soloist of Luxembourg on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
Franz Joseph Haydn's Symphony No. 103, the Drumroll Symphony, in a concert performance by the European Soloist of Luxembourg. The conductor there is Jack Martin Handler on Kansas Public Radio. The news from NPR is ahead in about 20 minutes at the top of the hour. Hope you'll stick around for that. Between now and then, Luna Park, a fantastic ballet in one act. It was composed by Lord Berners for a London review in 1930, and was inspired perhaps in part by some of the great old amusement piers that were quite prevalent in Great Britain in the early part of the 20th century. This one sounds a little bit more like a freak show or a freak pavilion. It depicts, among other things, a man with three heads, a one-legged ballerina, and a three-legged juggler complete with billiard balls. Luna Park by Lord Berners. This is the Sinfonietta of the Irish Radio and Television, conducted by Kenneth Alwyn on KPR. ballet music by composer Lord Berners, Luna Park, a fantastic ballet in one act, composed in 1930 and performed here on Kansas Public Radio by the Sinfonietta of Irish Radio and Television. Kenneth Alwyn is the conductor. The news from National Public Radio is ahead in just a minute. Hope you'll stick around for that. Kansas Public Radio brings you news and great music 24 hours a day. And we hope that you'll consider becoming a member of KPR. You know, giving to KPR is a choice. It's not a requirement. Kansas Public Radio is a resource that you share with other listeners. And when you contribute, you share in the cost of keeping KPR on the air. So please consider making a gift today at any amount. It'll make a big, big difference to you and to your community. Please go to kpr.ku.edu and pledge your support. We thank you very much for listening to KPR and for your financial support. It's what keeps us going. From the University of Kansas, this is your place for NPR News and classical music, Kansas Public Radio. We're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence at FM 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia at FM 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City at FM 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at FM 90.3. You can listen online anytime at kpr.ku.edu. That's where you'll find playlists of our shows, and you can also enter some of our CD giveaways. The news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. President Trump heads to Mount Pocono, Pennsylvania today for an event about the U.S. economy. NPR's Tamara Keith reports this focus comes as Trump faces polls showing voters blaming him for high prices.
Trump has spent very little time during his second term traveling around the country to sell voters on his policies. Now with his approval ratings at a low point and administration officials asking voters for patience, Trump heads to a resort in his swing district in Pennsylvania to talk about the economy. He's called affordability a Democratic con job and a hoax, but yesterday at the White House dialed it back a little.
We brought prices way down from what it was. We inherited high prices.
The most recent numbers show the inflation rate in September was the same as it was during former President Biden's last month in office. Tamara Keith, NPR News.
Meanwhile, the Labor Department's out with its newest numbers on job openings, and they were largely unchanged in the month of October, showing employers posted 7.67 million vacancies. More than 20 Democratic-led states say they will not give the Trump administration the personal data of people on SNAP food assistance. The government has threatened to yank funding from states that do not comply. NPR's Jude Jaffe Block has details.
The states pointed out a federal judge already issued a preliminary injunction in October, which blocks USDA from withholding funding from states that don't share the data. USDA has asked for items such as SNAP recipients' names, home addresses, birth dates, social security numbers, income information, and immigration status. The states say they object to the federal government collecting Americans' personal data without a clear need for it and cited legal and data security concerns. They suggested sharing de-identified data instead and asked USDA to answer a number of questions, including whether it can confirm state SNAP data won't be used for immigration enforcement. Jude Jaffe Block, NPR News.
Voters in Miami are going to the polls today in a runoff election for mayor that's getting a lot of attention nearly a year after President Trump's return to the White House. NPR's Giles Snyder has the latest.
The race for the Miami mayor's office is officially nonpartisan, but President Trump brought national attention to it when he endorsed former city manager Emilio Gonzalez. The campaign has attracted big names from both sides of the aisle. Miami has not elected a Democratic mayor in nearly three decades. The party, however, is looking to former County Commissioner Eileen Higgins to help add momentum heading into next year's midterm elections.
That's NPR's Giles Snyder reporting. At last check on Wall Street, the Dow was up 111 points. This is NPR News. Grammy-winning artist Raul Malo, the charismatic voice behind the Mavericks, has died after battling cancer. He was 60 years old. A tribute on the group's Instagram account says his spirited performance has garnered a massive and loyal following, which was on full display in 2022 during the Mavericks' performance in this NPR Tiny Desk concert. Raul Malo is being remembered today as a powerful songwriter, musician earning multiple Grammy, ACM, and CMA awards. As the Nobel Peace Prize ceremony approaches tomorrow, supporters hope the winner will appear in person to receive it. Venezuelan opposition leader Maria Corina Machado has been living in hiding, but has vowed to do her utmost to make it to Oslo on Wednesday. Here's Julia Carneiro.
Maria Corina Machado's mother has been praying the rosary every day, asking for her daughter to make it to Oslo. Other members of Machado's family are in Oslo, too, and the top brass of South America's right wing are coming. Presidents Javier Milei from Argentina, Daniel Noboa of Ecuador, and Santiago Peña of Paraguay. But Venezuela's attorney general said she would be considered a fugitive if she left Venezuela, where the regime accuses her of conspiracy and inciting terrorism. Machado is the main challenger of Nicolás Maduro's lengthy rule in Venezuela and was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for her fight for democracy. For NPR News, I'm Julia Carneiro.
It's NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Arm, committed to delivering innovative, advanced computing designed to enable worldwide companies to unleash the capabilities and experiences of AI. The future of AI is built on Arm. Arm.com. This is NPR.
Thank you.
There's incidental music for a play by Aristophanes, The Wasps, by Rafe Vaughan Williams. That's the overture, which he composed in 1909 for a Cambridge University production of the Aristophanic comedy. We heard the London Symphony Orchestra conducted by Andre Previn, and a recording from 1971 here on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Darryl Brogdon, and thank you for joining us today for the classics. We'll hear from Mozart later in the hour. In fact, in about less than 15 minutes, actually, the Sinfonia Concertante for violin and viola, featuring Isaac Stern and Pinchas Zukerman. That's coming up later in the hour. Hope you'll be listening. Here's something now from a CD called Night Moods, the relaxing sounds of Trio di Trieste. Music from the Piano Trio No. 2 by Franz Schubert, here on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
That's music from the Trio No. 2 in E-flat major by Franz Schubert. Here for you on Kansas Public Radio. This was composed about 1827, shortly before Schubert's death, and was one of his few late works that Schubert actually got to hear performed. It was written to commemorate the engagement of one of his school friends. We heard it performed here on KPR by members of Trio di Trieste. Mozart is next in sight, and news from National Public Radio at the top of the hour. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Thank you again for joining us here at KPR for the classics today. And as you enjoy the programming on KPR, remember who makes it possible. It's you and listeners just like you. Your annual financial support of Kansas Public Radio enables us to bring you news, music, and so much more every day. So consider a membership now and pledge your support online at kpr.ku.edu. The Sinfonia Concertante for Violin and Viola is by Mozart. It features violinist Isaac Stern, violist Pinka Zuckerman, with the New York Philharmonic led by Zubin Mehta on KPR.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
There's Mozart here on KPR, the Sinfonia Concertante for Violin and Viola, performed by the New York Philharmonic, led by Zubin Mehta in a concert performance with violinists Isaac Stern and violist Pinchas Zukerman. So glad you've joined us for the classics today here at KPR. Hope you'll stay tuned next for the news from National Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, your place for NPR news and classical music. We're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence at FM 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia at FM 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City at FM 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at FM 90.3. Listen online at kpr.ku.edu. The news is next.